this whole idea of what's going to happen in 2012, you know, everybody thinks it's going to be some kind of natural disaster. There's actually a greater potential for it to be something man-made.
I think so, too. And I think I'm seeing signs of this unrest right now, not only on an individual basis, but it breeds itself. It becomes a mass problem, doesn't it?
That's correct, yeah. And that's why in order to be the best citizen and in order to be an evolved individual, you have to be an individual. I don't think that collective, you know, group thinking and highly socialized decision making comes out with the best decision, because I write about this in the book. There's a phenomenon that's called risky shift. The more people you get involved in decision making, the riskier they're willing to go. And we've gotten to the point now where we have groups of people that are so interested either in the bottom line or interested in staying in power that they have taken the riskiest options possible in order to ensure that.
Good point.
And they're risking all of our lives, too.
That's because they don't care.
That's true. They're very self-centered.
You talk about various steps and stages in order to survive this metaphysical evolution. Let's go through some of them. Tell me what they mean. Go ahead.
The first one that I want to really make sure I get the point across is what we have learned about the human body that really changes the way we look at life. And, you know, myself being educated in mathematics and in a lot of philosophy, you know, you pretty much become the rationalist and you hear, I think, therefore I am. Everybody knows that. Well, in reality, thinking and the functions of the brain are actually secondary. Now, let me go through this a little bit. When we are growing as babies, we grow, you know, here's an interesting fact. When the egg is fertilized by the sperm, we start growing, and we grow at such a rate in the first 7 days that if we continue that rate of growth, we'd be the size of the sun. But we slow down because the organs become more specific, the tissue becomes more specific, et cetera. It gets more complex. Okay, well, at 19 days, the heart is developed enough to start beating. So the heart actually starts beating first at 19 days, yeah. And then the brain continues to develop until approximately 90 days or 100 days, and then the brain begins to function. Okay, and up until 20 years ago, every scientist and doctor believed that the brain told the body what to do. The brain controlled the heart. The brain controlled the functions of the body. And the largest nerve ending between any two body parts is the nerve channel between the heart and the brain. Okay? But in recent years, in the last 10 years, we can study the electronics and the nerve signals that are going through the body, and we actually know which direction the signals are running, and we can even decipher to a certain extent what communication is being told to the receiving end, okay? And lo and behold, they found that 70% of all of the communication is the heart telling the brain what to do, and that the brain is actually secondary to the heart. And then the other interesting fact is that, you know, we produce energy. Our bodies produce energy, and our right brain and our left brain produce energy, and our heart produces energy. Well, the brain produces a fairly static amount of energy. And, you know, another thing I'll point out is we're only using, you know, less than 10% of our brain capacity, which is another metaphysical evolutionary objective. But the heart is capable of producing 60 times the electric energy as the brain, okay? And because of that, the heart actually has the ability to reprogram the synapses firing of the brain in a split second. And the phenomenon of falling in love and that whole idea of love at first sight,
yep.
That explains that phenomenon, okay? Well, now when we know that we're actually heart-motivated more than we are brain-motivated, Now, doing things that are good for your heart, that make you feel good, that, you know, like if you really have your heart into something, it's so much easier to accomplish. It's so much easier to do it.
And you're even good at it.
And you're well, because it's a natural state.
Yeah.
You're in balance. Your body's more in harmony when you listen to your heart and you listen to your instincts. One great example of instincts is in the earthquake or the tsunami that hit Thailand and Africa a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there were 250,000 people killed, there were absolutely no animals killed.
The animals knew what was happening. They headed for the hills.
They headed for the hills. That's exactly right.
What was it? What's the instinct within them that gives them that, Zenithen? Do you think it's they felt vibration, or is it something more intuitive, I guess?
Well, see, these are the mysteries. There, you know, even though science knows all this stuff about the physical world, there's still a lot of stuff that we don't know that exists in the metaphysical world. We still don't know how gravity works. We still don't know how music and sound works. We still do not know even the full potential of our own body. Because we, you know, I write about this in the book as well. You know, we've now been studying gurus and Tibetan monks for approximately 20 years and studying different parts of their brain and how they function and how they're different from average people. And the fact of the matter is, they are scientifically different. They have scientifically evolved their brain and their bodies to a much higher level of vibration. And everybody should be on that path. Everybody should be taking that journey.